broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
We thank God for Monday on this 18th day of June in the 11th week in ordinary time, and we give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father. Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
They can call these the dog days of June, if you will, the longest days of the year and very hot over much of the nation. But as Monsignor prayed before the show, we thank God for that, even if we don't like it, because I know some of you do. It's good to have you with us on Morning Glory. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
And Elisa Murphy producing at Guadalupe Studios in Washington. Our godly counsel, Monsignor Charles Pope, will lead us in prayer.
Lord, in today's gospel, you speak to us about the need to be generous with our time and our talents, our treasure. And we do ask for that generosity, and that when others inconvenience us, perhaps asking for a moment of our time or some of our money, we do ask for generosity, Lord. And we want sometimes people to leave us alone. But help us to know, Lord, that the worst thing in the world would be if everybody just left us alone. For we would be solitary and have no one to raise us up when we were down. So keep us mindful of our duty to care for each other. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 A beautiful and thoughtful prayer. And Gloria's going to share a thought from Mother Angelica.
Our Lady suffered with her son. You've got to suffer with her son, too, as so do I. Jesus says, take your cross upon yourself, and I will help you with it. Learn of me. We don't often think of God trusting us. When we have crosses and more crosses on top of them, he is trusting us. If you accept them obediently and go forward with his help, your soul is being purified bit by bit and becomes beautiful before the Lord.
Solid spiritual direction to begin a new day and work week. In the news this morning, Argentina's bishops responding to last week's House vote to legalize abortion say the outcome shows the shortcomings of both the church and society in accompanying women and educating people. The bishops say the vote calls them to recognize the weaknesses in our pastoral efforts, comprehensive sex education in our educational institutions, and the accompaniment of women at risk for abortion. A bill to legalize abortion through 14 weeks of pregnancy is now before Argentina's Senate. Current law prohibits abortion except when the mother's life or health is in danger. Pope Francis proclaims a strong defense of life and marriage in a speech to a family association over the weekend. He said God's vision of the family is between a man and a woman. He also compared the abortion of children diagnosed in the womb with disabilities to a Nazi mentality. He referred to it as the murder of children, saying parents do this to get a peaceful life. An innocent person is sent away. He says we do the same as the Nazis to maintain the purity of the race, but with white gloves.
Yeah, he also said regarding families, he says today it hurts to say it. One speaks of diversified families, different types of families. But the human family as the image of God, man and woman, is only one. Only one. And we'll talk a little bit more about that at 7:10.
That's coming up in a few minutes. In the meantime, Ugandan bishops say a new sex education program created by the government will be rejected by Catholic schools unless considerable revisions are made. They say that program ignores the vital role of the family, especially in the early ages, and exposes very young children to, quote, content and life skills which are not appropriate for their age. Nearly 40% of Uganda's population identifies as Roman Catholic. More than 200 people are being treated for injuries suffered in a strong earthquake in western Japan this morning. The magnitude 6.1 quake near Osaka killed three people, among them a 9-year-old, killed by a falling concrete wall at her school. The two other fatalities were men in their 80s. At least five people die as an SUV carrying more than a dozen people crashes Sunday while fleeing from Border Patrol agents in southern Texas. The Border Patrol says 14 people were in the vehicle that went out of control at more than 100 miles an hour and turned over. Most of the people were thrown out, and there are a number of injured. The Border Patrol says the vehicle was suspected to be part of a smuggling operation. Three inmates escaped from an Illinois jail, breaking through a concrete wall with a pipe over the weekend. One was found Saturday night hiding in an oil tank. Two others are still on the run this morning. Three people have been charged with aiding and abetting the escapees. More than 20 people are injured by a gunman early Sunday morning at an all-night art festival in Trenton, New Jersey. One suspect is in custody this morning. Mercer County Prosecutor Angelo Onfari says another died at the scene.
There is one individual, a 33-year-old male, who is one of the suspects in the shooting who has already been pronounced as deceased.
One 13-year-old victim remains in critical condition this morning. A second sheriff's deputy in Kansas City died early Saturday from injuries suffered during a shooting on Friday. An inmate apparently overpowered two deputies outside a courthouse and shot both, most likely with one of their own weapons. The inmate was also shot and is hospitalized. Wyandotte County Sheriff's Deputy Major Kelly Bailiff says the public was protected from this violence.
Our community is safe. The incident occurred inside the gated area. The deputies followed procedure and they secured the area with the chain before the incident occurred.
Deputy Teresa King was with the department 14 years. Patrick Rohr served 17 years. President Trump's ban on transgender service members suffers another setback. For the second time, a federal court in Washington state ruled Friday to block the ban from taking effect as lawsuits challenging that ban worked their way through the court system. In a video message posted to social media, President Trump asks Americans to push lawmakers to close loopholes he says allow dangerous and violent people into this country.
Americans must demand their lawmakers support the legislation we need to defeat MS-13 once and for all, and to ensure every American child in every American community can grow up in safety and grow up in security and in peace.
The House is expected to debate two immigration bills this week. Attorney General Jeff Sessions gets a lesson on scripture from Episcopalian Bishop Michael Curry. During a speech to law enforcement officers in Indiana, the attorney general cited St. Paul's letter to the Romans in defense of the administration's strict immigration policies. Curry thinks Sessions got it all wrong.
Romans 12 is very clear. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It is not good to separate children from their parents.
And Gloria Bishop Curry gained global attention with his homily at last month's royal wedding. Interesting having this discussion over scripture.
Yeah, I plan to muse on that. I'm not saying Bishop Curry is a hypocrite at all, but I will be musing on scripture and hypocrites later in the show.
Yeah, that's coming up in about a half hour as Morning Glory continues now at 8 minutes after the hour. And let's talk a little bit more about the Holy Father's proclamation about life and family, and the Wall Street Journal's response.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal was reporting on the Pope's remarks to the Italian Family Association, and they quoted him as saying, children should be welcomed the way they come, the way God sends them to us, the way God allows, even if sometimes they are ill. And I was like, yes, we need to hear this. And I'm glad more mainstream papers are picking up his message, because I think somehow people got the idea that there was a Pope and then there was the teachings of the Catholic Church. And so they had to be two separate things. And so now it seems that the media is recognizing, wait a minute, the Pope is Catholic. And so, Monsignor, I'm wondering, when things like this come out, like when the Holy Father is making statements on things that we already know to be true that have been typically ignored, how has there been any response in your parish or questions or things that come up in your life as a priest regarding this?
Yeah, I get, unfortunately, more questions about when he seems to digress.
Right.
I say seems.
Seems, sure, right.
But yeah. I would say that I'm happy to hear he's been very outspoken. I know we're going to talk with Dr. Bunsen, Matthew Bunsen, more about the details of what the Pope said. But I'm very happy that very recently here the Pope has been really underscoring the foundations of our teachings about important matters, sexuality and life.
Yeah, later in the article, Wall Street Journal even mentions that a few months after his election in 2013, the Pope suggested, they say, the Catholics had become obsessed with abortion, contraception and same-sex marriage, telling an interviewer that it is not necessary to talk about these issues all the time. And I think sometimes people think, because he said it's not necessary to talk about it all the time, that we should never talk about it. But
it's funny, you know, when I did see that article over the weekend. weekend, I think, yesterday, and it's funny. I was just looking at it again, and Pope Francis, they do have to make the remark. They have to put their jab in where they say, Pope Francis's remarks were consistent with traditional Catholic teaching, yet unusually strong for a pope who has generally played down medical and sexual ethics.
You know, I think they just have to
got to get the jab in.
But I have to understand the pope is Catholic. You know what I mean? And we have teachings. Speaking of our teachings, as we've been reporting for a while now on Morning Glory, down in Australia, our church is under attack in that they're going to pass rules, laws, to compel priests to break the seal of the confessional. And they want to do it particularly around pedophilia. And as I've been reading the reporting on this, what's been surprising to me is that it's reported as if the priests only want to protect the seal of confessional when it comes to child sex abuse. Somehow you all only want to protect that particular sin from not being revealed. But it's all sins that are confessed in confessional that you all like, we're not going to break the seal on. Right, Monsignor?
Right. I mean, I think that – and I mean, how many times in my whole priesthood has somebody walked in with this type of sin? I mean, but and to say – and that's, I think, another reason, too, even that, you know, the old traditional confessionals, you know, there's a lot more anonymity. You don't even always know who's there. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to run around the box and grab the guy by the arm? So in other words, there's just – there's a lot of, I think, maximizing the minimum here. And minimizing the maximum, so to speak. So we first of all, this is very rare. But still, on principle, we absolutely cannot cede on this ever under any circumstances. And we have been trained in the seminary to be willing to go to jail or die.
Mm. Yeah. And it's really unenforceable. I mean, I think this is more of a political statement by the Australian government because there's no way that this can be enforced. You know, how are they going to know what has been said in the confessional? And, Monsignor, you're right. This seal of confessional is sacred. It goes beyond any civil law.
And it's funny you should mention that, Brian. The priest, this Father Whelan that was being interviewed about this, was saying the only way the states would be able to see whether the law was being observed or not is to try and entrap priests. So in other words, have people go in and make a fake confession, which is horrible to think about that. Now, one other thing that Father Whelan said that I found kind of surprising is he says an alternative is if a priest hears a pedophile confess sins of child sexual abuse would be to stop them immediately and say, come with me now. We will go down to the police station in order for you to show that you are remorseful. Is that really an alternative?
Yeah, well, it is not, especially if the priest is making absolution contingent on some performance of an act. Now, I think a priest can say to a person in the confessional, I really have to wonder if you have the sufficient contrition, if you wouldn't be willing to, you know, turn yourself over to the authorities. But to absolutely base it on until you have done such and so an act after you leave this confession, your absolution won't stick. Well, that's not theologically possible. That's not how it works.
Thank God.
Well, he can't say, come with me now. Let's stop the confession right now and go with me now.
No,
can't do that.
You can't do that, and that's just not how we celebrate the sacrament. So, no, it's not a viable alternative.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I think that if you start to have people afraid that what they go and confess, then nobody's wants to go in and receive healing. And I think that's just the enemy behind all that. I just don't it's just a very sad thing to me. But this is the world that we live in, and I wouldn't be surprised if they try some more stuff like that in the United States. But I'm glad to hear that you all have been trained to not only go to jail but even die to uphold the seal of the confessional. Just absolutely
We pray
beautiful.
That doesn't happen. Monsignor, we really like having you here on a
right.
But we could always hook up a line.
Right from the jail. We're like, hey, Monsignor, how's it going? Yeah. But there's something else that was pretty lovely. There's a parish, Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Passaic, New Jersey, that's been led by Capuchin friars for a very, very, very long time. And the friars are now leaving after 96 years of being there at that church. And what I thought was beautiful is this quote from Father John Aurelia. He says in his last sermon, "The Franciscans don't last forever anywhere, but the church does." Aurelia also, this is interesting, was the last personal secretary to St. Padre Pio, who the Capuchin order's most famous friar. Yeah. You've been a pastor at several churches and have had to leave after being at a church for a while. Yeah. How does that...
Now, don't give the bishop any ideas.
Right.
No, but you're right. The church has never been about one pastor or priest or one... It's always been... It's the body of Christ. Which,
all right. Yeah. And Dr. Matthew Bunsen is going to join our godly council, Monsignor Charles Pope, in a moment with more on the Holy Father's comments over the weekend. As Morning Glory continues, it's quarter after the hour on Monday, June 18th.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the Church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Listen to EWTN Radio day or night. Audio on demand brings you your favorite EWTN programs, prayers, and devotionals instantly to you for free. Visit EWTNapps.com and get started today.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
You know, you get paid in heaven for the ministry that you do on here. I love your show. My life has completely changed. Through God's power and through His revelation, I've changed myself and my life. All my first fruits go to God, and I remain in God. I pray all the time. Your show is in my prayer.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Dr. David Anders, host of Called to Communion.
This is Father Spitzer, host of Father Spitzer's Universe.
Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak, host of Deep Adventure Radio. Mahalo nui loa for listening to EWTN Radio.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
Enjoy Women of Grace today at 11 on EWTN Radio, 11 Eastern Time. Jeanette Benkovic-Williams amplifies our life of grace with in just a dynamic conversation. Women of Grace today, starting at 11 Eastern on EWTN Radio. It's 17 after the hour. This is Morning Glory on EWTN. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
We thank the Guadalupe Radio Network for hosting us at their WMET Washington, D.C. affiliate. Elisa Murphy, our producer at Guadalupe Studios, and our godly counsel has been Senior Charles Pope.
And we are joined now by Dr. Matthew Bunsen. We all know you well, but let me just state you are the senior EWTN correspondent and senior editor of the National Catholic Register. You know, Dr. Bunsen, I want to ask you, the Argentinian vote on abortion is, well, one clarification I haven't heard much of in the news, and maybe you know, it's probably very unlikely to pass their Senate down there, is it not? And I want to bridge then to talk about the Holy Father's remarks on abortion.
Yes, that's exactly right. Good morning, by the way. The bishops of Argentina were quite disappointed with the vote in the House of Representatives in Argentina, but we still have a ways to go for that to be actually brought into law for the Argentinian people. But it's a warning that the debate's going to continue and that the pro-life movement needs to redouble its efforts, even in places that are theoretically very solidly Catholic, like South America.
Yeah, could you talk a little bit about some of the things that our Holy Father, we were talking about it a little earlier in the news, but he was very strong about not just abortion itself, but also prenatal services and so on.
Yeah, well, the Holy Father was addressing an association of Catholic families that is called the Forum of Family Association that was celebrating its 25th anniversary. And the remarkable comments that he made were actually off the cuff. We all wait around to see Pope Francis putting his speech down, and then we sort of go from there. In this case, he was very blunt in saying that he said it's fashionable or at least usual that when in the first few months of pregnancy they do studies to see if the child is healthy. And if it's not, then they send it away, as he put it, as part of that throwaway culture. Yeah. And then he went on to compare that the murder of children to get a peaceful life, an innocent person is sent away. He said, we do the same thing as the Nazis. And it's a very strong comment to maintain the purity of the race. But he said, but we do it with white gloves. Mm-hmm. And what he's referring to is a eugenics program that was launched by Nazi Germany under Adolf Hitler to purify the race. Now, this isn't something that's unheard of in American history either. Of course, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was one of the people who felt very strongly about eugenics.
Yeah, I mean, and that's about what I was just about to add. You know, I would also say You know, the Holy Father has at times been a little frowny-faced, thinking maybe we speak about abortion too much. But I will say when he does speak about it, he's always been very clear, very Catholic about it. And I think that it's a reaffirmation of this Pope actually is Catholic, even if the Wall Street Journal and others might not wish this. But, you know, so there have been some remarks, I think, of surprise, I guess, that the Holy Father spoke, quote, so strongly. Any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Well, we can add to that that the Holy Father in this same speech, again, largely off the cuff, made another powerful statement regarding the family. He made the comment that the family in the image of God is the only one, that of man and woman, and then he added that marriage is a wonderful sacrament. So he then went on to comment that the family is an analogous word. He said we see the family of trees and the family of stars, but he said that the family is made in the image and likeness of God, is the only one. And he's talking, of course, about the redefinition of family, that we're seeing defined in a variety of different ways. So the Holy Father has been very clear, as you note, when he talks about abortion, and he's very clear, especially when he discusses what he refers to as gender ideology, which is one of those things that he's been talking about since his days in Buenos Aires as Archbishop of one of the largest Argentinian city.
Yes. One of the things when you talk about the Pope talking about gender ideology is I haven't heard a lot of mainstream press on his thoughts on that. But I think to me anyway, when I was reading his thoughts, I felt very edified that, OK, this Pope gets it. He understands what's happening in the world and the real danger to those of us in the flock that this ideology is becoming so prevalent. We even saw not far from here in Washington, D.C., in a school district in Virginia, they have adopted language to teach children this ideology. So I'm wondering if you think the Pope is going to continue to speak out about gender ideology and things like that.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't. Of course, we have the World Meeting of Families coming up just in August that he'll be attending in Ireland. And of course, the Pope will be arriving there not long after the horrifying abortion referendum in Ireland. And they're already moving to impose abortion, for example, on Catholic hospitals. So look for Pope Francis to continue to talk about this. And it's really vital to stress in our own culture to heed Pope Francis's words, because what do we have? We have a kind of search and destroy program, a kind of genocide that's being launched just against down children. They're being destroyed in Europe and elsewhere, and a lot of people want to do the same thing here on a regular basis. So Pope Francis is giving us, I think, very clear direction in how we in the pro-life movement can speak about this very clearly and very decisively, and look for Francis to continue to do that.
Matthew, as senior editor of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio, I wanted to congratulate you and the rest of the staff there for the Catholic Press Awards. This is the second year in a row the Register has taken that award, right?
It is. So it's Newspaper of the Year for the National Catholic Register, and this is a great honor. And we also won 11 awards total, I think, at the Catholic Press Awards that were held in Green Bay this year. The first place is it's something big, and it is such a privilege to be part of this team that's headed by Dan Burke, the executive director, Jeanette DeMello, who's the editor-in-chief, Tom Weiner, managing editor, and Joan Desmond, senior editor, and everyone else who's on the staff. It's a privilege to work with them, as I said, but it's also a great joy. It's a fabulous team.
Well, so many people think that newspapers are dead, but certainly the Catholic Register has a beautiful print edition, but there are also many platforms where your information is being disseminated.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. In an age of newspapers sort of dying, we're the rarest of beasts at the National Catholic Register that we're actually increasing our subscriptions. But as you note, we have a very active digital presence as well as the radio show, Register Radio, every week that I have the joy of co-hosting with Jeanette. So I think one of the keys is having that diverse way of presenting information. But you still have to have a good product to get out there when you're publishing something. And yeah. I think the Register does a really good job of that.
I know that my blog posts at the Register have helped you immensely.
They're very humble posts, too.
I'm privileged to be part of the team there. I post about maybe once or twice a month. But, no, it's a great paper, and I tell you, it's just so solid and Yeah, everything is. Well, anyway, God bless you for your work there and at the National Catholic Register and all those who work there. And well, thank you for joining us this morning, Dr. Bunsen, and we're grateful and hope that you will be well.
You too. Okay. Great joy to be with you, as always. Have a great week.
Okay, thank you.
You too. 25 after the hour now, as Morning Glory continues, there's a big debate on Capitol Hill on immigration expected this week, and Monsignor is going to talk about the balance on this issue taught in our Catechism of the Catholic Church. But first, at 25 after, Elisa Murphy takes a look at some Catholic chatter.
Teresa was very happy to hear the Holy Father's words over the weekend, especially when, as Matthew was pointing out, babies are being aborted for Down syndrome and many other disabilities. We've also heard from Lisa, who loves the National Catholic Register, and she points out just recently there was a great piece on the Thomistic Institute featuring our own Father Dominic Legge.
Mm. Well, we miss Father Dominic Legge and other Dominicans, and we pray that they are doing well during these summer months. Monsignor, let's talk a little bit about this immigration debate and what we can learn from our own catechism.
Yeah, you know, when something gets politicized, it's going to get distorted. And I think if you read our catechism, it's a very good balance. And it's going to, because it has a balanced teaching, it's going to require prudential judgments. So let me just read it. I won't read the entire paragraph, but it's 2241 in the Catechism. First, it says, "More prosperous nations are obliged, to the extent they're able, to welcome the foreigner in search of security," and the, and so on. And they should see to it that the natural right to immigrate is respected in places, and that they receive proper protection. So that's the first thing. We have an obligation, especially as a prosperous nation, to welcome the foreigner as much as we're able. However, the same thing also balances and says this: political authorities, for the sake of the common good, for the common good for which they are responsible, may make the exercise of the right to immigrate subject to various juridical conditions, especially with regard to the immigrant's duties toward their country of adoption. And immigrants are obliged to respect and with gratitude the material and spiritual heritage of the country that receives them, and to obey its laws, and to assist in carrying civic burdens. Now, I want to just say personally, I'm very upbeat about immigration in this country. I think we have wonderful immigrants, and I feel very, very blessed. But I will say that there are legitimate concerns that people have about security, border security, but not just border security, but just, you know, national security. Who comes and goes in this country is a matter of some concern, and you know, in the times of terrorism, et cetera. So I think that what we want to do is remember that there are going to be prudential judgments. And I'm not going to get into this whole question of dividing families. There's a lot of arguments back and forth politically on whether that's actually happening, who's responsible. But at the end of the day, I hope that we can respect the balance that the Catechism calls us to in this matter.
Right. Thank you, Monsignor. More on this issue from Ashley Feasley, Director of the Office of Migration and Refugee Policy for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Coming up next as Morning Glory continues, it's 28 past on your Monday, June 18th.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the Church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
There are some saints and martyrs who were beheaded with a greater peace than I have when someone cuts me off on the freeway or my teenager's running late for school. If I find someone's driving me crazy, the problem isn't that person. It's me. Whenever someone disturbs your inner peace, your inner life is too disturbable. Jesus showed us in the way to Calvary that no one can take your hope, your joy, your peace, or even your love for them. No one can make you act or feel anything. When Jesus reigns in our hearts and minds, we don't hand over that kind of power to any human being. So if you're letting someone drive you crazy today, maybe God's telling you to build up the interior castle of your heart so that nothing disturbs you. But that comes from prayer. As St. Paul wrote from prison, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Then the peace that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
This is Al Cresta, host of Cresta in the Afternoon. And Cresta in the Afternoon looks at all of life through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church. Church teaching is the light by which we view the world, and so we'll explore everything, from abortion to Hollywood, and from the First Amendment to the United Nations, and everything in between. Following St. Paul, we're seeking transformation through the renewing of our minds. So that's Cresta in the Afternoon with me, Al Cresta, weekdays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Coming up later this morning on More to Life, Jekyll and Hyde.
How do you deal with people who are angry one minute and nice the next? Tune in to More to Life, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central on EWTN Radio.
Now, back to Morning Glory.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
We are Catholic from the start, and grateful to have you joining us for Morning Glory from Guadalupe Studios in Washington. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Producing for us this morning, Elisa Murphy. Our godly counsel, Monsignor Charles Pope, helps us to begin our half hour with prayer.
Reflecting once again, Lord, on the gospel today, that you call us to a generosity of spirit, and when others inconvenience us or in some way challenge us or ask something of us, try to keep us grateful, Lord, for the many gifts that we receive from others and from you, and keep us then generous with those who seek something from us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we look forward to Morning Glory's musing.
You know, we were just talking about immigration, and while we were talking about immigration, a lot of what's happening out there is all these people quoting Scripture that you're like, what? Do they know the good book exists? So I want to talk about Scripture, and I'm not saying they're hypocrites, but Scripture and hypocrites.
All right. All right. That's coming up in a little bit. Also, Ashley Feasley from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops with more on the immigration issue. But first, Pope Francis reflects on parables regarding the kingdom of God from Sunday's gospel during his Angelus address in St. Peter's Square. When human history seems to develop contrary to the will of God, the Pope says, we are called to live this period as a season of trial, of hope, and in vigilant waiting for the harvest. He says the kingdom grows mysteriously. Its power is hidden in a small seed that is filled with victorious vitality. Catholics in Northern Virginia expressed concern over a public school district's adoption of new sex education curriculum. The wording now includes phrases like gender identity. One priest from the Arlington Diocese says, what we want the kids to learn biology, not ideology. Mm. A suspect in the killing of a Filipino priest is now in custody, identified by an altar boy who had been preparing to help the priest celebrate Mass. Three priests have now been killed in the same province in the Philippines in the past 6 months. A fragile ceasefire shattered in Afghanistan with two suicide bombings in 2 days, leaving dozens dead. Government officials are trying to extend a shaky truce before holiday celebrations end today. More than a year after opening an embassy in the Holy See, Palestinian Ambassador Issa Kasasha meets with Pope Francis. EWTN News Nightly Vatican correspondent Juliet Lindley talked with the ambassador about the recent violence along the Gaza Strip border with Israel.
Very negative. And since then, I think we had more than 140 Palestinian kids were killed. More than 14,000 Palestinians were injured. The situation is so deteriorating. People lost their hope in peace.
The Vatican formally recognized the state of Palestine in 2015. The Berkeley, California City Council calls for population control measures to, quote, protect the environment. Fox News reports the council claims the Earth is experiencing a climate emergency that could have a bigger impact than World War II. Council members believe immediate action is necessary to, and this is a quote, humanely stabilize population and reverse ecological overshoot.
As someone that's very familiar with that area, I will say that's why we do call Berkeley Berserkly.
Yeah, we call the left coast. They left sanity behind.
A big debate on Capitol Hill this week over immigration. Of course, there's been a lot of back and forth going on, and we're joined by Ashley Feasley, Director of the Office of Migration and Refugee Policy for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Ashley, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Monsignor gave us a good catechism lesson a little while ago on the balance that the Catechism of the Catholic Church establishes on this issue. What are the bishops pushing for as this debate moves forward this week?
So I think the bishops are happy to see the House moving forward with action. And they are pleased to see that one of the two bills that will likely be up to vote on Thursday has a path to citizenship. But there are some troubling provisions in both bills, particularly as it relates to unaccompanied children and asylum seekers. And it's also important to note that both of the bills that are put forward do not actually end the family separation that we're seeing at the border currently. So while I think that there's progress, much needs to be kind of changed to actually make a meaningful bill that I think we would see a bipartisan approach to.
Will we see anyone from the USCCB testifying on behalf of these bills?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it depends. If Congress asks the bishops to participate, I think that they would be more than willing to join the dialogue, since this is an issue of such concern to them.
Well, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan is Catholic, and he is on his way out. I know he wants to make his mark there. Do you think that he is going to at least present this case from a Catholic perspective?
I think that Speaker Ryan is in a difficult position as this issue, as everyone knows who watches the news, has become so politicized. The bishops are most concerned with ensuring that the immigration issue is viewed from the Catholic social teaching principles and that we remember the human elements of this while at the same time recognizing the need to respect the laws of our country. That's definitely a tight balance, but we're certain that it can happen if people work together to find a solution.
What can Catholics do to bring to attention to the lawmakers of this human aspect of immigration that needs to be considered in this legislation?
So I think that's a great question, and I think one of the things that's most important is engaging in the public square, whether it's learning more and sharing with parishioners or having experiences with immigrants and refugees in your community. We need to remember the human aspects of this, as well as being in touch with your leader. We have some information and a webinar that we'll be doing later on today on the Justice for Immigrants website that talks about some of the bills and what we can do next. But it's really important, I think, in this time to keep an open mind, to make sure that you read all the information and to be ready to kind of engage your lawmaker as things move, and they are moving very quickly.
Ashley Feasley, Director of the Office of Migration and Refugee Policy for the USCCB. Thanks for joining us this morning, Ashley, and we'll keep an eye on what's going on in Washington and perhaps have you back to discuss it further.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. It's about 23 till. Texas Senator Ted Cruz beats late night's Jimmy Kimmel in a charity one-on-one basketball game over the weekend in Houston. The 47-year-old Republican politician beat the 50-year-old comedian 11-9. I find this funny. They agreed to call the game before reaching the agreed-upon 15 points. Apparently, they were pretty beat
worn
up.
Out, yeah.
After the game, Cruz summed up the performance.
For two guys in our 40s and 50s, we beat the living daylights out of each other.
Money raised goes towards children's charity. All right, it's 22 till on your Monday morning. Time for Morning Glorious Music.
So, you know, there has been just this, I would say, outrage that these hypocrites are quoting scripture to try to tell us what to do regarding immigration. And it is something, quite a thing, to see these very same people who were so against the church teaching, didn't want to hear from people of faith on issues relating to redefining marriage or protecting life in the womb, to now see them hold the holy book up high on all these secular shows. And, you know, people were, you know, annoyed. But I have to tell you, I had a different reaction. I was like, you know what? Let us be happy that we are hearing scripture. Now, granted, maybe how they're intending it may not align with what the meaning of the verse is. But the more the good book is, I think, brought out in public, maybe people will take a second look. I mean, it's supposed to be a light for us, right? The law of the Lord is a light upon to show us where to go. And let us not be upset that these people somehow are discovering scripture. Let us more say, yes, that is so beautiful. And let's look further. What else does the good book say? This may be an entree for us to evangelize others because they brought it up. Let's use that opening and go and talk about the good book. And the other thing I would say is this. There was I remember St. John Bosco. I was reading the account of St. John Bosco having a dream, and he saw these boys taken down to hell. And he went down also. And when he got down there, he said, what you see all around hell was scripture. Because the very scripture that's being quoted, we all are subject to it, right? And it's how we respond to that scripture that depends on whether we're going to end up in hell or whether we're going to end up in heaven, right? So while they're also quoting scripture, they're also subject to it. So don't feel like, oh, they're getting to mock scripture. I'm not saying these people are going to hell. Mm. I'm not saying that. But I am saying is that we are all subject to it. And let's not be upset that those who are holding the mirror up may be not having the best intentions. Let's just be glad that we're hearing something about the law of the Lord and so we can act accordingly.
Mm. Yeah, I would second that. I would say that I think that the problem with a lot of folks who quote scripture is that they can be a little selective.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, if you really read scripture, it balances. I was talking about balance with the catechism. And, you know, this maybe unnerves people a little bit, but sometimes there are things that, for example, you know, there was a quote from the letter to the Romans that speaks about, it does say that the you know, lawful governing authorities act as God's ministers, and we should otherwise, other things being equal, reverence laws and seek to follow all just laws. And so that's clearly stated. And by the way, I would hasten to point out when Paul wrote that, Nero was the emperor.
Mm. That's right.
So, well, mm. They never envisioned the kind of things we have today. Well, yes, actually, they had it worse. But that said, you know, as the good bishop, the Episcopal bishop who had quoted kind of in this back and forth of Scripture. Yeah, Scripture also does say to us we should do that which is good and avoid that which is evil. Mm-hmm. So they're both there, but as I say, one is specifying and the other is, you know, we want to hold Scripture in balance. And it's the misuse of Scripture, kind of cherry-picking or using a quote to hurl at somebody. Mm-hmm. But you'll often find there was a classic moment when, I think it was back when Jimmy Carter was running, and he was saying to the president, or he wasn't president at the time, but candidate Reagan, you know, the Bible says beat your swords into plowshares. Mm-hmm. But Reagan responded, it also says beat your plowshares into swords. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a time for war and a time for peace. Anyway, all of these are ways of saying that Scripture is actually a very nuanced, very thoughtful thing. It was written over thousands of years, and it's going to say a lot of things, and we need to try our best, as the Catechism reminds us, to read Scripture in the light of the whole of Scripture, and Amen. To realize that sometimes one passage will balance another. Jesus says in one point, do you think I came to bring peace? I tell you the opposite. I come for war, the sword, he says. And other times he says, peace is my farewell gift to you.
That's right.
So there's context, yep. There's balance. Anyway, but as I say, those would be just some of my thoughts. Scripture is hard to get right if we're not very careful and nuanced and realize that it's a very lengthy document. And
isn't it wonderful, though, that it's alive? The Word of God is a living document that inspires us. And as you say, we have to look at the whole rather than picking apart pieces we like in the cafeteria scripture book.
Proof texting. Yeah. That's absolutely. Yeah. I remember Deacon Halberg Sivers was talking about that someone was quoting something in scripture to him. And he said, well, what did scripture say before that? And what did it say after that?
That's right.
Changed the whole dynamic of the conversation.
Does. It often does.
Right? That's a beautiful thing.
The old saying, if you take a text out of context, you're guilty of a pretext.
Oh, that's good.
You know, it's interesting. I grew up in the 60s. When we didn't, as Catholics, really read the Bible as such. But when I started reading Scripture, I realized that I had heard practically all of it at Mass.
Exactly. Right. Brian, I'm so glad you bring that up. A lot of people are like, oh, Catholics don't read the Bible. I'm like, have you ever been to
a Mass? We read it all the time.
It's loaded up with Scripture. I mean, it is loaded with Scripture.
It's all Scripture.
It is. Yeah. And so it's I think Scott Hahn talked about that in his conversion story of being like, oh, the Catholic Church has a whole bunch of Scripture.
Even when we pray the rosary, it's scriptural.
Yes.
You know, the
gospel on the string. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And, it's amazing that we get that rap of not being a scriptural. You know, I'm like, we receive the word and we literally receive the word.
I get together with Catholics all the time and reassure them that, you know, scripture. I can start almost any parable and you could finish it.
Yes.
You know, most of Paul's epistles, you know, these passages, you know them because you hear them over and over if you're faithful to going to Mass.
And I love the way, too, that in any given Mass, the Old Testament word is connected with the New Testament in such a way through our liturgical calendar that really teaches Scripture in a way that someone just simply reading it
is not going to get.
No, exactly. It's all laid out for us. And, yeah, it's often bookends. You know, the Old Testament reading is bookended with the gospel. And we see how Scripture, you know, Scripture points to Scripture. And so it's all very, very rich. It's so rich. And you know, if you think about the bookends, for example, I don't know if you've noticed, but the Bible starts with a wedding and it ends with a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the,
right.
The Adam and Eve, and then at yes. the end of the Bible, Christ and his bride, the lamb. I'm sorry, the lamb.
A bunch of weddings
bride,
in between,
church.
Too. I think.
Yes. Yeah, there are a few. Yes.
Just a couple. Just yeah. a couple. Well, I'll be talking next with Rico McKahan of the Sophia Institute Press. Talk about this new book, The Catholic Family Handbook. Lots of questions next on Morning Glory.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. Stay up to date on the latest EWTN TV and radio shows, books, art, CDs, and DVDs from Religious Catalog when you sign up for Wings, our weekly e-newsletter. Get Wings today at EWTN.com.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I Can't Get No Satisfaction is a popular song, but it could be a summary of our life on earth. In the book of Genesis, we hear that we're made in the image and likeness of God. That means that we can know the truth and we can choose to do good to others. We can love. It comes to fulfillment in the Sermon on the Mount where we hear these Beatitudes. It's the standard of the Christian life. Jesus tells us that if we hear what he says and do what he tells us to do, we will be like wise people who build our house on solid rock. But we make progress towards happiness and blessedness by our actions, and it starts with our interior disposition, what we want to choose. Do you and I hunger and thirst for those things that will lead us to happiness and to God? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Father Joseph Mary.
This is Dr. Ray Guarendi, host of The Doctor Is In.
Hello, this is Bishop Mike Sis from the Diocese of San Angelo, Texas. Thank you for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory at EWTN.com.
EWTN's National Catholic Register is America's most trusted Catholic news source with a comprehensive view of the world from a distinctly Catholic perspective. Try 6 free issues with our compliments. If you like it, you can subscribe later at a 35% savings off the newsstand price. To get started, visit ncregister.com today. Today is Monday of the 11th week in Ordinary Time, June 18th, 2018. It's about 13 to the top of the hour. I'm Gloria Purvis. My co-host is Brian Patrick. Our producer is Elisa Murphy, and our godly counsel is the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian, Monsignor Charles Pope. We're joined by Rico McKahan, and he works with the Sophia Institute. Good morning, Rico.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Now, you know, I was reading some of this book, The Catholic Family Handbook, Time-Tested Ways to Help You Strengthen Your Marriage and Raise Good Kids, written by Father Lawrence Lavasic. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but as I was looking at this, I was like, wait, he's from the 60s. How can someone writing from the 60s have something to say to us today about marriage and family life?
What's a little bit strange, as I was going through it myself, some of the things that he was pointing out as the current problems, I mean, you change up the language a little bit, and suddenly you have the same problems that we're dealing with.
Right.
So on one hand, they're just universal problems. The family has not been facing anything new other than how it's been framed and sometimes the intensity, but the problems have remained the same. The bedrock advice that Father Lavasic gives us is that the point of the family, in terms of how he's approaching it, is we're here to get each other to heaven.
Yes.
It isn't. There's not some economic goal or becoming well known or anything like that. That is the basic goal, and then from there, everything else fits into place. The Catholic Family Handbook is just packed with just all these little bits of very practical and sometimes hard-hitting advice.
one of the things that I thought was interesting, and he was talking about people's, you know, not wanting big families or whatever, and one of the things was about you'll never have an orderly house. And he's like, that really isn't important, having an orderly house, like physically orderly, like Martha Stewart lived there or something, is not what's important. And I thought, you know what, we need to hear more of that. And I'm not saying, you know, throw order to the wind, but this idea that your house has to look like a showroom all the time is kind of silly. And so I was like, okay, he gets it. Could you imagine having a lot of children? It's not easy to, you know, keep crayons from being written on the walls and things like
right.
that.
I have two little ones, and you clean up, and 5 minutes later, they've found the thing you cleaned
yes.
up, and they've thrown it all around again.
You know, they are one-person wrecking crews, I tell you that, right? But he also said something very interesting to me in the chapter I thought was really dedicated to women, is taking Mary as your model. She was perfectly devoted to her husband, St. Joseph, and she was an inspiration to him. I think we often don't think about that she also was an inspiration to her husband, and inspiring him because she was so especially devoted in her love for her son. And I would imagine for husbands to see their wives devoted to their children, that could be an inspiration. And you're a father. Maybe you could reflect on that some.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm at work most of the day. I hate doing the calculation of realizing that, I mean, as much as we're doing good work, I spend more time with my coworkers than I do with my kids, and it's just the way of it. But seeing how much my wife can do with them and come home and see what they've learned and just the little things, they don't even know what they've learned, the kids, but they're picking up stuff from mm-hmm. my wife, and it really is inspirational. It's awesome to see that.
Yeah. But I'd also like to just put in a little plug for Father Levosik. I was raised on those books, you know, that he published on the saints and just so many wonderful things. And they were always so beautifully illustrated. And I was a kid. I grew up in the 60s and into the early 70s. And it was just they were just beautifully beautiful books and so many beautiful things that he did. Could you tell us a little bit about Father Levosik?
Well, from Pennsylvania. I don't know as much, and perhaps having read more of his books, you may be able to mm-hmm. flesh it out a little bit. But I know that he's from Pennsylvania, born early 1900s, like 1913, 1914, something like that, from part of a large family in Pennsylvania. And all of his advice and all the things that he came to be able to communicate to us, I mean, it's the usual thing where a priest is giving a discussion of you know, marriage prep or something like that, and the initial, like, all right, well, what do you know about marriage? He had so much experience with those families that he was able to just compile it into a very real and understanding outside perspective that we can now take to our families. What I don't know about is the he was what was his group that he was a part of. That part I'm not as familiar with. But knowing that he just took all this experience with families, that he was able to dig all that up and not become just kind of like the stereotypical theologian where using big words and he can just power it right into our lives.
Rico, I want to come off Father's Day, where so many of us fathers were praised about what great fathers we are, knowing darn well that we really fall short. I wonder if in your book it addresses this issue of the mistakes that we can make as fathers that really kind of irrevocably, you know, that affect our children for their lifetime, I guess.
Yeah. Definitely spending time with them, taking an interest in what they're interested in and not having a sense of, you will be whatever, a doctor, a lawyer, someone famous, whatever it might be. You will act this way, and really understanding who your kids are and then recognizing that your goal is to get them to heaven. How are they doing with their virtues, whatever they decide to do? Making sure that you encourage things like making sure that kids know that a religious vocation is not only possible but even encouraged.
Yes, and he does give some examples, you know, and how to deal with children in terms of discipline and things like that. And I was surprised that he wasn't like, you know, the belt, because we often hear, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. But he talks about explaining to the child, you know, why they're being punished and acknowledging that their feelings. And I found that very practical. And I like that about Father. I keep messing up his name, Lovasik, yeah. Who wrote the book. Enrico, I have to say, you know, it may have been from the 60s, but boy, I feel like it's right on time. Where might we be able to find Father Lovasik's book?
Well, you can go to sophiainstitute.com, and you can definitely get it there from our website. Just type in Lovasik or Catholic Family Handbook, and you'll be able to pull it up right away.
Thank you so much, Rico. Really appreciate you joining Morning Glory today to talk about the Catholic Family Handbook.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Sophia Institute Press, part of EWTN, so you can also find that at our religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. Mm-hmm. It's 5 before the hour. We'll go to Monsignor for a look at today's gospel after some Catholic chatter with our producer, Lisa Murphy.
Megan wrote in saying she's a huge fan of Father Lovasik's books and just recently purchased the St. Joseph picture book for her grandson's baptism. And we've also heard from Felipe, who very much enjoyed your musing, Gloria. And he says, just a reminder of the misuse of Scripture is a perfect opportunity to evangelize. Mm-hmm.
And Gloria, you said Father Lovasik much better than I misuse the word irrevocably. That's a hard word.
Tongue twisters. Tongue twisters, that's
we all. Know it means. All right, Monsignor, help us through the daily gospel reading today.
You know, I've been hinting at it all through the show, but there's a certain Jewishness. If you want, you almost need to hear the Lord's tone of voice. He says, you know, you've heard it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I say, don't offer no resistance to one who's evil. You know, if someone, you know, and if somebody wants to go to law of your tuna, give them your whole closet.
Nah.
You know, I mean, I'm just kind of, you know. But I think sometimes we have to, we read these texts, you know, and of course, you know, written texts are sort of tone deaf, but there is a kind of a hyperbolic quality that the Lord uses throughout the Sermon on the Mount. It doesn't mean that we ignore it, but rather that we realize he's calling us something so great because he's living his life in us. And when he lives his life, we're not going to worry about, hey, that's my shirt. Hey, you're interrupting me. It's my time. Leave me alone. We're not going to be like that because Jesus is living in us.
Amen.
I've heard that scripture reading many times, but never quite like that. That was great. Monsignor Charles Pope, thanks for being our godly counsel. See you next Monday in glory. We'll see you in the morning.
Right, Nerl, and I have to tell you, I'm thinking about Father Lovasik's words. I think I'm going to go play with Lourdes instead of trying to fix the sink.
All right. Great idea. Who's on the show tomorrow, Lisa?
We'll have Father Edward Looney, and we're going to talk to executive producer Eric Groth about Paul, Apostle of Christ, coming out on DVD tomorrow.
Right. Let's pray together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a blessed day, and stay with EWTN Radio.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.